Evening, everybody. This is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light, and I'm pleased to be with you again. And as usual, I have quite a large number of articles to talk about. And as usual, I'm going to start with the Sheldon Neidel update on behalf of the Spiritual Hierarchy and the Galactic Federation. I have to say that of late, the messages have been very uplifting and very informative. And this week's one started off by talking about the people that are working on our world diligently to complete their various agendas to bring about first contact. And the message read that this operation is presently closing in on a number of important deadlines. We can only guess at what those deadlines may be, but no more information for the moment. The message goes on to say that the most important involves how items of value, such as gold, silver, diamonds, etc., are faring. These items, in the main, are rising in value. This is occurring as a hedge against the dangers of an increasingly overpriced global real estate market. Many key nations on your world, holding large reserves of needed assets such as crude oil, coal, precious gems and metals, are stockpiling or buying interest in gold and silver. And the message reads that this is done to counter covert attempts by the last afterbell to implode the now booming global economy. It reads on that as these resources change hands, they move into an interlocked stockpile arranged by the light to prepare this world for a new historical direction. The message goes on to say that the plan, which was brought out to cause the enslavement of humanity, was largely diffused by the departure of the Anunnaki in the mid-1990s. And for people who aren't too sure what the meaning is there, the Anunnaki are evidently the ones that have been influencing the dark forces for many hundreds, if not some thousands of years. But in the mid-1990s, they decided to move away from the dark and come over to the side of the light. So that amount of energy that was supporting the dark forces on the earth has been removed. The message goes on to say that with this growing stockpile of untold wealth, it has become the reason for the dark's need to implode the world's economy, and that this wicked plot has thus far slowed the progress of many international financial documents. Nonetheless, the obtaining by the light of added resources is going on even as we speak. We read that the purpose of these acquisitions by the light is to enable our planetary society to move into an economy that is far more stable than the present one, based on a highly inflationary fiat currency, and that the key is to rapidly devalue or deflate the present economy to more realistic or true values. In these conditions, the abundance inherent in our present economy can be shared worldwide. Further, the wealth created by the rise of new technologies can be more equally spread, and that our global population needs to be swiftly educated and made aware of what is actually happening around them. The prerequisite is well known to your ascended masters and us. The mass ignorance of your global population and your willingness to believe the deception and fragrant lies of your governments is quite appalling. The ascendancy in the half-past century of a global corporate state is a phenomenon long exploited by the dark to achieve many of their goals. Counting this as a movement to reorder the power of these corporations and to truly democratize the world's family of nations. To accomplish this, many secret agreements have been signed by the world's nations. We don't hear a lot about the things that go on behind the scenes to set up first contact. But every now and again, like that last reference to secret agreements having been made with the world's nations, we get some insight, perhaps, of what the light are doing that will counterbalance what the dark are doing. Now, the message goes on to talk about the struggle of power and the way the powerful have created a world in which the wealth of many banking families of North America is now at risk. And they say that added to this are a series of documents that can cause the rechartering of the world's major corporations once the present American regime is legally done away with. And that this incredible financial war has reached a point where denouement in favor of the light is now possible. This means that this secret war is due for an incident that is to bring it into the public arena. Again, no hints as to what that might be. I'm sure I haven't any idea. But it's nice to know that there are plans that are going to bring about some happening so that we too will be able to get a measure of what is taking place. The message then goes on to talk about the role of the Ascended Masters, which is to ensure that a reality based upon abundance, freedom and personal sovereignty becomes the norm on our world, and that their intent is to support what we have just talked about. Their guidance is also focused on the many spiritual changes required, and they say that your globe is presently dominated by a philosophical viewpoint that runs counter to what is spiritually envisioned. These doctrines were forged largely by the Anunnaki's former minions many millennia ago. The Masters intend to counter these doctrines by introducing changes in a manner acceptable to the masses. The simultaneous operation of introducing abundance and transforming basic philosophical doctrine is to be their prime objective. To the Ascended Masters in Heaven, first contact is the moment when the ways of the dark are fundamentally turned toward the light. This goes on to say that the Galactic Federation of Light have concentrated upon preparing us for first contact, and that this operation is more than mere appearance of their ships in our sky. It involves the establishing of a spiritual, mental, and emotional kinship with us. It means that you reacquaint yourselves with your true history and start to remember who you really are. Coming to near the end of the message, I pick out the following comments where they say, we are eager to have a full disclosure of our existence and to have our benevolence. And to have our benevolence made public. This can help to prepare you for our arrival. Many of the dark cabal has used their positions as spiritual teachers in your society to rail against us. This disinformation, coupled with continued emphasis upon the abduction carried out by your secret government, has aroused fears in your population that need to be addressed on the coming eve of first contact. This is why we are working closely with our Earth allies for a formal end to global non-disclosure. And this is why open disclosure is to come so soon after the present American regime is ousted from power. So that is interesting to hear. So we now know that the open disclosure of UFOs and ETs, etc., will not really come until after this last cabal has been removed. Right, so that is yet another interesting and encouraging message from what I believe are mainly the Syrians. Now, this week we had also a message from Matthew, and Matthew's messages are so full of information, generally speaking, quite long, and I believe one could spend quite some time picking out the more relevant points, although one has to say the whole content is usually very, very interesting. What I will go into is part which refers to this holy day season. And Matthew is telling us that it is emanating light more brilliant than in any years of our recorded history. And this is from energy heights of hopefulness and thankfulness not previously seen, a reflection of our greater spiritual awareness. And he said, I can hardly tell you how joyfully we welcome it. The other side of the coin is conscious awareness, the growing acceptance of the truth that is being revealed. And this too is significant in its ever-widening scope. Goes on to then talk about linear time and tells us that you cannot see the momentum towards Earth's magnificent future. This makes all the more noteworthy the light of your grander hope and gratitude in these days, and you shall see its unimaginably rich rewards. He says that they had felt that changes within the current administration in the United States could be known to you prior to the end of your calendar year, and it appears now that such may not be the case, even although the legal process to achieve this is steadily progressing. That, I assume, of course, refers to the inquiries and investigations still being carried out by Patrick Fitzgerald. Indeed, in the general news this week, it was felt at one stage that there might be some more announcements on the Wednesday, but other news seems to indicate that the likelihood of Karl Rove being indicted is as strong as ever. Now, in Matthew's message, he talks about the cheer of holiday decorations and how we send our greetings to dear ones distant in miles. And he says all of this is generating the unprecedented brilliance of light I mentioned. When you enter the new year and once again direct energy towards manifesting the reforms you desire, you will see corresponding action. He then goes on to talk about how the power base of the dark is dissolving. And he says that none on earth can see, as we do, the intensity of light and technological assistance of our benevolent space family on, above and within earth that is vanquishing the influence of the off-planet darkness that has been controlling its earth puppet, who in turn have been controlling all of you, in part through manipulation by the US government. I then come on to another part where he is talking about the higher planes of energy that the Earth has reached. And he says, he cautions again about the need for utmost care in the sources who contact you. It is with sadness that we see some who once actively worked within the light have fallen away due to lack of diligence in this respect. I assume that he's referring there to people, as he has said, who are not sufficiently aware or cautious, and perhaps they have been contacted by entities who, on the face of it, would appear to be working with the light, but behind what they do is another dark agenda. I certainly don't know who he's referring to, and he certainly wouldn't mention names. He goes goes on to say that guidance has been given in many messages from high station, and I cite one that is of special recommendation. So if you will please, and he then asks his mother to insert the website, and I give it here in case you haven't read the message. It's one called Bridging the Gap, and it's on awakenedhearts.com. He goes on to say that in all instances of deception, fraud and terrorism, the truth about the perpetrators will come out, and both legal and spiritual justice will prevail. Unjust laws and policies will be rescinded. All repressive aspects of any government will be replaced by light-filled measures. And he remembers that many of us live outside of the United States who follow his messages. And he said, I say to you who don't live in the United States, the very same applies to your nation's government. In this regard, I wish to amend a statement in my last message, wherein I said that leaders of all countries with economic status are Illuminati. I should have more correctly stated that they are Illuminati, or they share those primary traits of greed and lust for power. I continue by saying that some Illuminati have responded to the light and will initiate reforms or be replaced. I then jump on a bit in Matthew's messages, and he's saying, what you think about, you create. So we urge you to not only stay out of fear about lack of money, but to lift your thoughts to abundance for all, not only selves or even countries. Very little of the wondrous world on your horizon will be rooted in your systems today. This is why you are creating your new world. He goes on to say that the completion of the karmic experiencing that Earth needed to balance, which included mass impoverishment, is propelling her movement into the higher plane of energy vibration. I think I interpret that as meaning that when we have impoverishment around us, or we see it within other people, it does bring the light out of us, and we become compassionate, giving and loving. This, of course, is increasing the light all over the earth. Matthew goes on to say that most experienced light warriors in the universe are right there among you, working behind the scenes to guide the necessary changes so that as many as possible of Earth's residents will accompany her into the higher plane. I find that comment interesting because it is, as usually referred to by other messengers, as telling us that no one at this stage is left out or lacking the opportunity to become part of ascension into the higher planes. That opportunity still exists for everyone at the moment. Matthew goes on to say, talking about things that happen on the earth, that please do not think that your part is less important than any other. Every part has a meaningful purpose. You are where you are because at soul level, you know you can do this again. And you know that you aren't alone. Light being throughout this universe are with you. So that confirms, I think, what has often come through my own messages, and it's certainly true to say that everybody has their place in the scheme of things, and we shouldn't really compare what we do with somebody else's. We shouldn't feel any less than someone else, because as Matthew has said, every part has a meaningful purpose. Right, move on a little bit more through the message, and this is relative to a question that was being asked, where one writer proposed putting plans to construct free energy equipment on the internet to combat corporate attempts to suppress it. Matthew was asked to speak about that, and he said he couldn't speak about an unidentified device, but yes, free energy devices based on past developments are coming, as are more advanced technologies that will be introduced by your EP family during the transitional phase into the golden era. Some technological inspirations were filtered prematurely. The intent, of course, was to advance Earth scientists' awareness of the workings of the universe, but the tight grasp of the darkness was not given its full due. Scientists in diverse fields have been killed, confined to asylums, imprisoned or otherwise discredited, and their developments or discoveries have been used for harmful purposes, hidden and or ridiculed. As he goes on to say that in addition, a civilization that you commonly know as the Little Greys shared their technological knowledge that by soul level agreement was in exchange for human DNA samples, which include the emotion that the civilization lost in its intellectual struggle to keep from dying out. Their intent was to integrate human emotions into their progeny, but without emotional ingredients in their makeup, they had insufficient frame of reference for evaluating the character of those whom they approached, and to a considerable degree, they were betrayed. And he says, while it is true that some abductions happened, most of the Greys adhere to the contract's provision that humans had to consciously remember their agreement. A few humans did not, and in some cases, the abductors knowingly carried out the experiments anyway and were harsh indeed. At the same time, giving a death ear publicly, some within government encouraged the revealing of the frightening and painful abductions they performed some themselves, to lend more credibility and thus more fear to the existence of the Greys who now live underground, captive of Earth's third density atmosphere. Matthew says, considering what I wrote about the treatment of scientists whose knowledge the Dark Ones find threatening, and this is still happening, the intuition of your knowledgeable scientists to keep a low profile about their abilities and equipment for the moment is sound. Matthew moved on a bit and was asked a question about some products that are already on the market. And he said that in comparison with what is in your future, not only technologically, but you're discovering your innate capabilities for manifestation, these are elementary. So we've got some big surprises in store and some really fantastically advanced technology, which will carry us forward. And the latter part of his message, Matthew was asked questions about sex or sexuality in the sense of, was it meant to be joyful, rejuvenating, and a way to connect with God? And in part of the answer, Matthew said, your sexual aspect is generated by sexual energy, with androgyny being the ideal balance of male and female energy. And then he said, sexual practice is totally different. In your population, this ranges from the sublime joy of sexual union in a loving relationship. Orgasms are as close as you can come physically to feeling the oneness of all, to unspeakable perversion of the sexual energy itself. I noticed that was interesting that there he tried to give us some idea of how near we can get to this feeling of the oneness of all. And I guess words just can't seem to be adequate to explain a feeling of which we have little or no knowledge. So that's very interesting. Coming now to the latter part of Matthew's messages, he said that Earth is a schoolhouse for experiencing the range of human emotions and learning how to treat each other in relationships of every kind. Families, co-workers, friendships, teams, colleagues, in organisations, is why you are there. And I thought that was interesting. It really confirms, I think, what most people that are on the spiritual path understand. And that is that we are here for experience. And, of course, growth from that experience. Matthew was asked, does pursuing physical pleasure interfere with or prevent accomplishing a soul's contract purpose. And he said, not unless the contract specifies abstinence and since sexuality is inherent in your makeup, this would be a most unusual contract. Physical pleasure is an integral part of a relationship unless illness or incapacitation precludes it. And when this is the case, the aspects in my reply to the first question can sustain a strong relationship. So there you are, I think we've all realised that it's been quite a natural thing associated with human living and experience. Matthew then goes on to talk about having a happy, lasting relationship, and he says, feeling immediately comfortable with a stranger is the like attracts like law in action. So again, it is kindred spirits connecting. But this applies to all associations and doesn't imply a happy, lasting, romantic relationship. Those are works in progress, so to speak. And then he refers the readers to his previous answer. He was then asked the question, do soul contracts provide for fulfilling soulmate-type relationships? And he says, they may not. It depends on what the soul needs to fill gaps in experiencing or to balance previous lifetimes. And he says, it is essential that you feel whole within yourself and not look for completion in another. Do not look for a mate to fill a void that can be filled only within self. Right, now, coming up to the absolute end, he mentions having told us that along with Earth's changes that will restore her health and beauty, that we as microcosms of Earth will experience inner urging to change aspects of our lives that no longer feel meaningful, comfortable or uplifting. And he says, some of you already have responded to your intuition to change jobs, resident locations or relationships. And he says, when those situations no longer fit, most likely your chosen karmic lessons that required them have been completed. And your soul is motivating you to move on to experience other aspects of your pre-birth agreement. And he was asked about children's feelings when their parents separate. And he said, do not underestimate the spiritual awareness of children. He was then asked about our responsibilities toward the evolution of our pets. And he says that, let me first say, at one time all animals lived peaceably on Earth. Because the energy of the force field, we commonly refer to as the dark forces, cannot abide areas of brilliant light, which Earth was then, they managed to instill ferocity in some animals, which led to a change in their diet, as well as temper, and the predator-prey chain was established. He goes on to say that as consciousness raising continues, people will learn that the souls of animals, not only human souls, evolve and they deserve the same care and respect as humans. And he says, indeed, including your pets in meditations and energy therapy is uplifting to them in their awareness of your recognizing their true self. When we tell you that every soul is a part of God and all souls are one, this includes animals. It's a very nice thought, isn't it? And it reminds me of when I ran my own groups and I was in a spiritual society. There was one particular lady who ran the branch who had a lovely black poodle. And it came to every meeting with her and it knew exactly what to do. When the meeting started, it went underneath her table and it curled up. And as best of my recollections, I think it slept there the whole meeting, which was probably something like an hour and a half to 2 hours. It just shows that maybe it was absorbing everything that was said. Now, this week I'm not going to refer to my own messages, only because with Matthew's message, and I've got rather a lot on the UFO side of interest, I think maybe I'll give my preference to those, although I will say that the messages have been somewhat spiritual in their teaching nature, talking still about various aspects of self, And the most recent one I had was, in effect, telling people not to feel guilty about any thoughts or actions that take place when they are trying to manifest the light. It is said that everybody makes errors, and you shouldn't worry unduly about that. You will make mistakes, and but your ego, which was the subject of another message, will keep interfering with what you're trying to do. It always wants to let you know it's there with its ideas and suggestions, which you may not fall in with. So I think this week it was somewhat of a more spiritual nature in that sense, because some of the messages can be very, very general in nature. Now, I did pick up a little bit from a ufology program. I think this came up on the PageNews.com site. And it was talking about a former attorney for Citizens Against UFO Secrecy, and now publisher of PageNews.com, which I just mentioned. And Peter Gersten spoke about the symbolism of 11/11, the winter solstice of 2012, and the current state of ufology. And he referred to the Roswell incident as a Trojan UFO, and said that something crashed there, but he believes it was advanced technology of terrestrial origin. He also passed out on the veracity of the Project Serpo reports that have recently come to light. That's all I wanted to mention, really, on that one. I don't, in fact, know what Project Serpo is. Maybe some of you do. But I think we, perhaps we, that is, who are into UFOs and whatever, certainly feel very strongly now with all the evidence that's come to light that the Roswell crashes were certainly extraterrestrials, and certainly there is no other explanation. Now, last week, I read out extracts from part one of an article from the Flying Saucer Review, going back to the 60s, and they were reporting ones that appeared in the in an Italian periodical, which had conducted an inquiry into the strange stories being related in that country, and they found numerous witnesses and contact claimants, and they had a reporter, Renato Albanese, who started his research in a sceptical frame of mind, but apparently ended up a very puzzled man, and he said, "I no longer know what to think." Now, last week, there was a strange saucer encounter, which referred to Signora Germana Rosso, and it did say that they would be trying to get more information, and I concluded by saying that I hadn't actually searched forward, and I had hoped that there would be more there, because it related in part to contact, and I'm very pleased to say that the next mag that I pulled out, it has some more information, which I will go into straight away. Now, Germana Grosso apparently lived with her parents in Turin, and she told the reporter that she received telepathically extraterrestrial messages emanating from Mars, Venus, Neptune, and what she called the third galaxy. And she said they were just like phone calls. And she typed the messages directly on her machine, and so accomplished are her correspondents in communicating with her. She types them from 6 to 7 hours daily. Wow, you know, I type in the same way for about an hour or so at the time. I can't imagine what it's like to type that long. Anyway, she went on to say that these mysterious planetary correspondents had names. She said the Martian correspondent is called Itachar, and he describes himself as the commandant of the Martian spaceship, and is the most frequent and best known of her visitors. And she said that she has so far had from him some 60 messages, each one four sheets in length. She said that the amusing correspondent calls himself Mohar, And the one from Neptune signs himself Thought. And the one from Galaxy signs himself Itail. And she says the contents of these messages, which the recorder says he has seen and read, are long descriptions of life on those planets. And the Itail of the third galaxy is the one who announces the calamities which are going to befall the Earth. Indeed, Signora Germana Grosso already knew a month beforehand, apparently, that they were going to have an earthquake. Now, the next three experiences in these series are of more conventional type of psychic. So I won't go into great detail because we've heard many of the different types of flying saucers and the mothership. In one, there was an oblong body, as it was described, which was silvery, and travelling at tremendous speed. So oblong, we assume, means it was indeed a mothership. There was another where a person saw a luminous globe, and then suddenly it vanished over the horizon, and then just as suddenly, three more globes appeared in formation. And the witness said about half an hour after this first sighting, we saw all kinds of airships in the sky. It was luminous of the apparent length of 20 meters, it's about 60 feet, with an extremely luminous bluish colored strip running along its full length. And the strip was intersected at equal intervals by vertical bands of lesser degree of luminosity, like grid holes. Then they said the globes began to circle around a giant cigar. There was another when a disc was seen, and it had a reddish colour, and the disc was slowly descending. And the person saw it said that they did not see a luminous tail that it meteors. So I suppose they're saying that it wasn't wrongly identified. Now, the ones that I do want to read out just a bit more detail are two which have beings in them. Now, these are different reports to the earlier ones, not through the same lady. And there was a gentleman called Bruno Pacini who apparently said he thought that flying saucers were nonsense, and he did not in fact believe in them. But as often happens, they're the very people who see them. And he was returning home, and as he was about to enter the door of his house, he heard and saw in the direction of the field, which his house was on the edge of, what he thought was a sputtering spark. And he went over to have a look, and he saw a dark something, a black mass, blacker than the night sky, hanging motionless in the air between one of the pylons and the mulberry tree at a distance of some 600 feet from his house. And he said the contraption, which appears to be of a circular shape, had a hatch which opened in the lower part of it, and there out of it came a certain amount of light. And the being, who seemed to be a man, was on a pneumatic jack and seemed to be engaged in soldering the metal surface of the machine. And he said this then was the cause of the sparks that the chimney had seen from afar. And he said the man was all swarthied up, as he put it in his colourful Lombardy dialect, that is to say, the man was wearing a tight fitting oval and had a kind of helmet on his head. He mentioned there were also three other beings dressed in the same uniform walking around the huge thing. They were talking amongst themselves that they too had helmets, and he could not make out anything of what was being said. Then out of politeness, Pacini asked the one who was on the jack whether he needed anything, and the individual made some sort of guttural reply, with the result that Pacini withdrew rather alarmed. And then he felt he came up against a jet of fresh air, which knocked him to the ground, and he concluded by saying that the work now being completed, the hatch from which the light came was shut, and the machine rose rapidly, looming blacker than the night itself. There is another report which included the sighting of a being, and that was Franco Tomasini, who said that he had had dealings with blind sources, and apparently he was taking photographs in the Orlandi Hills near Pescara, and he noticed an object that was approaching at great speed and without any sound. And he said the machine came still lower and remained suspended at a height of about 6 feet from the ground. And from an opening in the lower part of it, there emerged a very tall individual, about 2 meters in height. He was wearing a rather tight-fitting overall, which showed his muscular configuration, and he seemed to have no stomach. He approached me and smiled at me, and then in a voice such as I'd never heard before, and he spoke in Italian, he said, "I need water." And as he said this, he showed me 2 containers made of some fabric, which he produced, folded up from a sort of pocket. Now, Thomasini naturally obliged and went off to get the water for him. And the other, still smiling, thanked him, saying, "I'll do a favour for a favour," and he jumped into his saucer, which he said took off like a rocket. So there, I will leave the UFO reports there, because there are another couple from Italy, and I will include those in next week's programme. I have a little bit of relating to ETs, and there was a message that came via Spirit Eagle from an entity called Traegil of the Galactic Federation of Life. And he said, "I'm a ship within your vicinity," and he spoke of having been working to clear the energetic fields of electromagnetic contamination in that area. And he said it was affecting humans, animals, and all plant life. And he spoke about some changes to an antenna array, which was on a mountain, evidently nearby. And he said these have a larger and more sinister purpose than mere transmission of radio microwaves for civilian purposes. And he said a decision was made recently to counteract the negative effects of these signals without completely shutting the transmitters down. And he said, as the expected open contact has been delayed, it was imperative that the populace be given relief from these deadly emanations. And he said the sensitives among you have been particularly affected. He didn't say otherwise what the effect was, but he went on to talk of responding to us all, because we are all their family. And he says, "We ask that you all communicate with us. We are ever waiting for that call." The writer added on to this particular message that he was walking into town, and he wasn't feeling too good and quite stressed. The man was walking in the other way and gave him a big hello. And he said he was in a blue jacket and blue pants, and he was tall and had black curly hair and looked cute, but his mouth was rather wide. I said hello and kept walking for a few more steps. My immediate thought was, he's an ET. I turned around and he had disappeared. There was nowhere that he could have walked deep under in that short space of time. He said I really wanted to talk to him, but he did rematerialize. So there we are. I've had that happen myself, but whether there is any logical explanation for what I experienced, I don't know. Final one on ETs is quite a long one, which on the face of it looks like maybe a compilation of various reports, but I like the first couple of paragraphs that I read. It was headed as a special friendly ET message for Earth, and it reads that, as incredible as it may seem to many people, humanity and Earth is undergoing evolutionary change advancement. We are to become a galactic civilization, interacting positively with many star system civilizations in our galaxy and universe, and indeed other universes. It is our true destiny to change from a society based on fear and competition to one based on love, peace, and harmony. The current chaos is merely a part of the quickest change. And it goes on to say, we live in an invisible universe, often referred to as spiritual realms or heaven, as well as the physical universe, which is the only part most people believe exists. The real truth has been hidden from us so that we would eventually remember and discover who we really are, creating all the beings of universal knowledge and wisdom, closely connected to our physical brothers and sisters in space and those in the spiritual realm. Unfortunately, many governments, religions and philosophies have been manipulated to keep much of the truth from us, so others could retain power and control. The recent retaliation for so-called terrorist attacks in the USA will in time be shown to be one of the final attempts to keep us under control. However, it might be a great change in understanding by world populations who mainly want peace, despite what is presented to us by a manipulated media. It goes on to talk about different aspects, in as much that people somehow feel that something is about to happen. And that this is, of course, because of changes that are happening mainly in the invisible universe. Talks about some information that some people find difficult to absorb, such as the nature of our hollow earth and the ancient civilizations like the Telos who are still living there. Mentions that the earth has a consciousness of its own, it is a living being, and that the divine plan of the creator which we all follow, knowingly or unknowingly, calls for the earth to ascend from reality we now know as the third dimension to the fourth dimension, and then to the fifth dimension, and that this has long been suggested to be around the end of 2012 or earlier. So that's just a little bit out of quite a few pages, but very interesting information, talking about the fact that we're in our last big incarnation and should ascend to help establish the next creation on Earth and the whole universe. So there we are, that's another interesting one. I now come to what I call general news, and there doesn't appear to be anything really red hot this week, but on the Independent World Television, apparently there was a report that this outfit is building an independent TV network, and that they are brave enough to report the truth, and they can do that because they are free from advertising corporate control or government funding. And apparently they've just produced a video, I guess, about their work. So if you're interested in that, you want to find the Independent World Television website. I did read that the House has renewed the Patriot Act, but that is the one on information gathering of private citizens and having that information without getting proper legal permission. And I think that should be fun because apparently there are other people in the House who are going to filibuster that act to try and prevent it from going through. Also read a small item about a former 9/11 whistleblower, Sybil Edmonds, who was served with a gag order. Apparently, she found out that Dennis W. Ford was guilty of possessing classified material at his home and could face prison. And that was because he concluded that the evidence did not exist to prove WNC. Now, I've clearly got my connection with those two items out of order there. The latter hasn't obviously got anything to do with Sybil Edmonds. The comments I made regarding Kenneth W. Ford are quite separate. My apologies there. There's a nice item circulated by Russ Michael of Michael's World, and it was relating to Dr. Ray Brown. I don't know quite how that came up. And Russ Michael was asking another colleague, he said, if you have spirit contact with him, ask if he is the diver Dr. Ray Brown, who found the underwater huge, perfectly round, clear crystal obtained from an underwater temple of Santa Atlantis of Florida, Bimini. And he mentions Dr. Pat Flinigan, the super scientist who did a reading through his Egyptian ascended master mentor with the Portsmouth, where Ray removed the huge round crystal ball from a pair of golden hands sitting on the underwater altar. And apparently that was reconfirmed in the early 90s by another very powerful female spiritual medium who is reading in Virginia Beach. And stated that Russ Feifel was one of the seven group individuals who was working to keep Atlantis from sinking, and even gave me the actual individual names of all seven, and he apparently has that on tape in his archive. Now, I mentioned that bit because I think that's very interesting, because it was a long time ago that I heard the divers had entered the Sanctum Pyramid off the Bimini Wall, and there was a rumour that the great crystal had been removed. And I don't know about you, but that's the first time I've actually heard mention of who might have removed it and its existence. Right, now, I mentioned in one of my earlier comments about the fact that Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald was going to apparently present additional evidence to a grand jury on Wednesday about the CIA leak case. Apparently there is an 11th-hour testimony from a reporter, Rebecca Novak, who rose a thorny Robert Luskin, fingered as a crucial witness in keeping his client out of court. But apparently that doesn't appear to have been helpful to Rose in enabling him to dodge an indictment. So there's not much more to be said on that. That thing's been passed by because it didn't actually eventualise. One I did see was a report circulating on the internet about 20,000 soldiers that were hospitalised after the anthrax vaccine. I thought that was interesting because even in the UK we hear lots of odd reports about the effect of the vaccine that our soldiers had to take when they went abroad. And apparently this results from an investigation by the Daily Press of Virginia. And they revealed that the 20,000 soldiers have been hospitalized in recent years after receiving an anthrax vaccine. And they accused the Pentagon of publicly lowballing the number of troops that required hospitalization in order to persuade Congress and the public that the vaccine was safe. And the Daily Press also revealed that at least three soldiers developed a fatal Lou Gehrig disease after receiving vaccine. Nothing new, is it, for us to hear that there are cover-ups, particularly in military matters when something goes wrong. Bit of news this week, which I don't think is entirely new, about the Dick Diebold COE resigning after reports of fraud litigation. And this is a chief executive officer who once famously declared that he would deliver Ohio for President Bush, and he has resigned. So I thought that was interesting. I mean, that's another interesting aspect that is still on the boil, I think, of presidential elections. Also read that the Supreme Court is to review Texas redistricting, and this relates to the constitutionality of a Texas congressional map, which was engineered by Rep. Tom DeLay, and it helped the Republicans gain seats in the Congress. It said that the 2003 boundaries helped Republicans to win 21 of the state's 32 seats in the last election, which was up to 15. Apparently they were only approved amid a nasty battle between Republican leaders and Democrats and minority groups in Texas. There's another problem that keeps surfacing. From the very informative site, Rens.com, there's a report that's been circulated produced by Dave Monclive, from the Power Hour, about high-ranking military officers and airline pilots who agree that Flight 175 did not hit the WTC South Tower. And they refer director of Colonel George Nelson, USAF, retired, and he's had 30 years of experience identifying aircraft and aircraft parts, and he stated that the plane that hit the South Tower on 9/11 was not a United Airlines Flight 175. And after reviewing numerous video clips and photographs of the 9/11 attack, he concluded that was not a commercial airline and the planes were substituted. You can read more about that on PowerHour website, powerhour.com. And this conclusion was echoed apparently by other military officers and commercial airline pilots. Leland Gadsden, a seasoned airline pilot of over 20 years, examined photographs of the engine that was found at the trade center site. He stated the engine found was a CFM56, which is not utilized on a Boeing 767, confirming that the South Tower was not hit by Flight 175, but by another plane that had taken its place. And something that's been said often now by Major General Albert Studeline of the US Army, retired, who's an expert in photo analysis. He reviewed the ones taken at the Pentagon before the collapse and concluded that the plane does not fit in that hole, indicating that the damage was inconsistent with the 757 strike. So, there is, as ever, a call for the reopening of the investigation into the 9/11 attack. And all the time these inquiries come up with those sort of conclusions, I think they're going to have a job to keep it away. Surprising bit of news this week was that Bush accepted McCain's ban on torture, and that happened on Thursday. And the ban called for a banning of the cruel, inhuman and degrading treatment of foreign suspects in the war on terror. And Bush said that the agreement will make it clear to the world that this government does not torture and that we adhere to the International Convention of Torture, whether it be here, at home or abroad. Well, I'm sorry, we must be allowed to be sceptical about that comment because there seems to be a great deal of evidence to the contrary. And that's this little bit of publicity is only, as we call, a little bit of window dressing. Right, that is the end of the general news, and I've literally got minutes left now, so I will quickly refer to one of the other messages, which came from Nilsson McLeod of Massara, Canada, and it was a message that came through Abraham Lincoln, and this is not the first one, this came out on the 15th of December through Helen Engel, and he's saying that there appears to be a crack in the wall of defences. The non-civil war may soon end. We have a prosecutor who is holding on tenaciously and who will soon have the tentacles of the law around those who have perpetrated such injustice in our beloved land. He says victory is out. And he says that one way to determine which step to take in making plans for reconstruction is to determine what went wrong in the first place. How could this have occurred that we were so duped into false security that a way of life was taken away from us? How could this have been prevented? And he mentions that the forces of dark cannot be seen in the daylight, therefore it is necessary to root them out. And he says that we will look into every nook and cranny, peer into every hole, in our search for those who have done any injustice to our land and to our people. And he's saying that when they are dealt with, it will be through truth committees, and they will exist in every city and every town. And he said, will we forgive them? Yes, we will, because we are the people of God, and God forgives. And he's encouraging people to get cracking and set up these truth committees already. And he's saying, try to have the majority of the process in place by the end of January 2006. So, if you want to read the whole message, I guess you can find Helen Engel's site and you'll see it there. But look, thank you everyone. I really have come to the end of this program and the time just races by, as it does generally. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you'll be with me next week. God bless you all.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.